I'm truly thankful tonight for the opportunity to be here and to be with all of you in the fellowship of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Enjoyed your singing. Appreciate the prayer. Trust you'll continue to remember me in prayer. After Brother Harold called my name, I kind of lost track of what else he said. I think he named three other preachers. So I want to be mindful of the time, but I certainly stand in need of God's grace and your prayers as I endeavor to speak to you tonight. After Brother Harold reviewed with us all the trouble he had and things he forgot, it made me feel a little better about what I forgot today. I got a couple of items, had to run back home and get them, but we're just thankful to be here. What a joy it is. The Lord gave us safe passage in rough weather, and here we are in a beautiful, comfortable building, the fellowship of our brothers and sisters. God is good, and we praise Him tonight for the privilege to be in His house. It's been a sad week for us over at Vestavia. Perhaps some of you had heard about the passing of Elder Obey over in Kenya. Our church has been in deep mourning. It's a great loss to us, but a great gain for him. And the average lifespan in Tanzania is 44. Brother Obey was 45 years of age. But the Lord blessed him to get a lot of good work done before he called him home. And we're thankful for that. This evening, I want to call your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. I want you to notice the words the apostle describes here. He has suffered a lot of trouble, even as an evildoer, though he was not doing evil, but he was treated as an evildoer, for no greater crime than preaching the gospel. For I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Beloved, you and I cannot bind the word of God. The enemies of the gospel can. You and I cannot limit others where they can go and preach. That's not our calling. We're not to try to put boundaries on the word of God. The word of God is not bound. I remember when Paul was before Agrippa as a prisoner in chains, in bonds, he began to preach the gospel to Agrippa. And you remember Festus said, "You're beside yourself, Paul. Much learning has made you mad or crazy." And the apostle said, "I'm not mad, O most noble Festus." But they thought he was. But he preached with such a liberty and power that Agrippa himself said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Agrippa was on his throne and Paul was in his chains, but I'll tell you, there was a little switch there. It was almost as though Paul was now on a throne and Agrippa was now in bondage. The gospel has great power, and it is not bound. The word of God is not bound. Therefore, the apostle says, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they, the elect, may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now this verse tells us a great deal about the Apostle Paul. First of all, it tells us that he believed that God had an elect family. Therefore, I endure all things for who? For the elect's sake. Paul believed that God had an elect people. And he taught that throughout his writings. God had a chosen people out of all nations and kindreds. And Paul believed in this doctrine of election. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This passage also tells us that Paul loved the elect. He had a heart for the elect. He cared for God's elect. He was willing to endure all things for the elect's sake. Paul was not in the ministry for himself, for his own promotion or his own welfare. He was in it for the good of God's children, for the elect. You know, Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." That ought to be the burden of every gospel preacher, to go out and feed God's sheep. We ought to love them, and we ought to feed them, and we ought to be willing to endure all things for the elect's sake. Now, why was Paul willing to endure all things for the elect's sake? So that the elect might someday finally make it to heaven? Do you think the Apostle Paul thought that anything he could suffer on this earth would finally help get the elect into heaven? No, beloved. Paul knew that that eternal salvation was already accomplished. You know, in Matthew 1:21, the angel said, "She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, that was a future salvation that was to take place. It had not taken place at the time the angel spoke that. But when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us." By the time Paul wrote Timothy, that great work of salvation had been accomplished. And Paul speaks of it in the past tense, "Who hath saved us." Now, what happened between Matthew 1 and 21 and 1 Timothy 1 and 9? I'll tell you what happened. Jesus the Savior went to the cross and made the one sacrifice that would take away the sins of the elect family forever. And when Jesus died on that cross, He said, "It is finished." And Paul knew that salvation was a done deal. And he writes to Timothy and says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." So Paul knew that the eternal salvation of the children of God was not in his hands. It was not depending on what he did. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So, if Paul knew that eternal life was already accomplished by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and all the elect family were going to finally go to heaven through what Jesus did, why was Paul willing to endure all things for the elect's sake? Why was this man willing to suffer so much in preaching the gospel if it did not have any eternal consequences? I'll tell you, this man suffered a lot. When Paul said, "I endure all things," you and I need to remember some of what he endured. He gives us a list of what he endured in the Corinthian letter. He was beaten by the Romans with rods. He was beaten by the lash with the Jews from the Jews. He was stoned and left for dead in Lystra. He was shipwrecked. This beloved apostle was going through famines and trials of all kinds. And let me tell you, my friends, he spent a lot of his time in prison. And it was not a comfortable prison at all. He wrote many of his letters from prison. Yes, this man knew what it was to suffer for Jesus' sake. Now, if Paul believed that all of the elect were going to go to heaven, whether he ever preached the gospel or not, and that's what we believe in as Primitive Baptists, we don't think the preaching of the gospel has anything to do with getting people to heaven. That reminds me of an experience I had in Tanzania. Last year I was over there and I was visiting in this compound where I was staying with a missionary from Sweden. And he was telling me about all the trips he'd made to Tanzania and how many people had been saved in heaven because of his evangelistic and missionary work. And I began to tell him what I believed, and that Jesus Christ was God's missionary, and Jesus Christ saved everyone that the Father gave him to save. And I just elaborated a little on that, and he said, "Well, what are you doing in Tanzania then?" He couldn't figure it out. If I wasn't over there to turn goats into sheep, what was I doing in Africa? And I just, that opened the door and gave me an opportunity to tell him while I was there. I was there so that the elect might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus in addition to eternal glory. I believe all of God's children are going to experience eternal glory someday. And I'm looking forward to that, beloved. Oh, what a day that will be when you and I are raised from the dead and our bodies are changed and fashioned like unto His own glorious body and we enter into eternal glory. We're not glorified here. I don't feel glorified tonight. Y'all don't look glorified. Y'all a lovely bunch, but y'all a long way from being glorified. We are mortals. We're dying in this world. But oh, brethren and sisters, someday you and I are going to experience eternal glory because of what Jesus did on that cross. I'm happy about that. I rejoice in that very much. But I want to tell you, there is a salvation right here in this world for God's elect that they can enjoy now through the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why gospel preachers preach. That's why these ministers have driven up here to the Smokies this weekend. And I'm sure we preachers need to be saved. And all of y'all need to be saved. And I get saved just about every time I hear a good sermon. I heard Brother Tim McCool preach a good sermon the other day to a church that was thinking about closing its doors and disbanding. Brother Tim preached a great sermon from Nehemiah on rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. The people had a mind to work. And I tell you, when that meeting was over, I was saved from being lukewarm. And I told the pastor in the church, I said, I don't want to join again. I don't want to be baptized again. But I do want to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you here tonight have gotten lukewarm in your service. You need to be saved from lukewarmness. Are you all agreeing with that tonight? Oh, the gospel, brethren and sisters, will build a fire under us and cause us to be full of zeal in the service of God. Yes, there's a lot of things that we need to be saved from right here in this present world. I want to turn with you to Romans chapter 10 and notice a salvation that Paul was talking about concerning the brethren, his Israelite brethren. He says to them in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now what salvation is Paul praying for here? I want to tell you, Paul had his heart in his preaching. He had a purpose driven ministry. Would you all agree with that tonight? This man had a purpose in preaching the gospel. And we as ministers need to be focused on what our purpose is. Every time we get up and preach, whether it's to a few people at a nursing home or to a congregation like this or on the radio, we ought to have a purpose in preaching the gospel. And the purpose is to save God's children. And Paul had his heart in it. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now here's a salvation they don't have yet, but he's praying that they might experience it. What is he wanting them saved from? He's wanting them saved from ignorance. For I bear them record to have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. These people have the zeal of God. And I want to tell you, a lot of God's children all over America today have a lot of zeal. They have a lot more zeal than we do sometimes. But it's not according to knowledge. That dear missionary in Tanzania had a lot of zeal, but he didn't have the knowledge to go with it. He thought he was over there finishing what Jesus started on the cross. Oh, no, brethren, that's ignorance. Paul says, I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Oh, what a blessing it is in this life to be able to preach the gospel to somebody that's in bondage to the law. And they think that they've got to keep the law and they've got to do this and that in order to go to heaven. And they know they're missing the mark. How many of y'all tonight think y'all could live good enough to go to heaven? I wouldn't trust the best 15 minutes of my life to get me into heaven. No, sir, brethren and sisters, my life is full of sin. I like what Paul said to the Romans in chapter 8. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall ever separate us from what? From the love of God. Here was the chief of sinners writing this beautiful message. I can see his hand as he begins to write those glorious words, that conclusion to the 8th chapter of Romans. Don't you know he felt secure in the love of God, even though he was the chief of sinners? I'm safe in his love tonight. I'm glad God blessed me years ago to understand this. Elder Cecil Daugherty saved me one Sunday night at Cool Springs Primitive Baptist Church. That's right, I remember the night, I remember the text, I remember where I was sitting when I got saved. Y'all do know what I'm talking about now, y'all. I'm going to have to elaborate on that. I was already saved for heaven when Jesus died for me on the cross. Everybody that will ever be saved was saved the same time for heaven when the Savior died for them. But I want to tell you, I found out about it when I was 15 years old. And when I found out how Jesus saved me, it saved me from ignorance and brought joy to my soul. And oh, what a blessing that was. So Paul is praying for these people. He says, they've got a zeal of God. And primitive Baptists ought not to make fun of anybody who has the zeal of God in them. We ought not. Now, we may disagree with them doctrinally, but we ought not to make fun of them. We ought to really pray for them, as Paul did here. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record to have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and I think that's Jesus Christ, and what he accomplished on this earth, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. I just don't believe that's an unregenerate person doing that. I think unregenerate people couldn't care less about eternity. They're just focused on this world. Anybody that's worried about going to hell is probably going to heaven. That would be my idea about that. But let me tell you, brethren and sisters, we need today not only to be saved from ignorance, we need to be saved from slothfulness and a lack of zeal. I see Brother Robert Tarnes here tonight. I want to quote this text the way he quoted it one time. He put his own spin on it. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for primitive Baptists is that they might be saved. Amen. For I bear them record. They have a knowledge of God, but not according to zeal. Oh, our zeal runs low sometimes, doesn't it? Oh, I'm glad y'all are up here tonight. I'm probably preaching to the wrong crowd here this evening. It drives through all this rain and bad weather to get here for this meeting. But brethren and sisters, we want to be saved from ignorance and from a lack of zeal. And we want to be saved from this world that we live in. You know, the Apostle Peter told the brethren at Pentecost, he said, save yourselves from what? Not from eternal hell. We can't do that, and we don't need to do that. The Savior's already done that for us. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'm glad to be back in Pigeon Forge. I'm glad my wife Nelda's with me. We brought two dear sisters, Sister Ann Hunt and Sister Bobby Kemp from Alabama with us. We're in good company. I'm in good company with my wife and these dear sisters. And I thank God for that. I'm in good company here tonight. I don't think I'm going to get in any trouble here tonight. But there's places in Pigeon Forge I could get in big trouble tonight. I could get in more trouble tonight before midnight than I could get out of the rest of my life. I want to be saved from this untoward and crooked generation we're living in. What do y'all say about that, beloved? I'll tell you, the best way to be saved from this world and the influence of this generation is to get into the church. Get active in the church. Stay in the church. Go to church. Be under the influence of the Word of God and in the fellowship of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Sing the old hymns of Zion. Read your Bible and pray to God. Ah, brethren, there's a salvation for us in that. Do y'all believe that tonight? Paul, Peter goes on to say, they that heard all this were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Oh, what a salvation there is. And you know those, he goes on to say that all these were added to the church, those that should be saved. Who are those that should be saved in the church? Those that have believed the gospel and have been baptized, and they're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. I tell you, I'm glad to be here tonight. I thank God for your fellowship. I thank God for Paul's ministry and the fact that he was willing to suffer so much for the elect's sakes. You and I will be indebted to the Apostle Paul as long as we live on this earth. Brethren and sisters, his suffering was great. But he said that he didn't even consider himself worthy to suffer for our Lord Jesus. He wanted to know something about the fellowship of his sufferings. He never murmured, never complained about any of his trials and tribulations and sacrifices. Oh, he counted it a joy to be able to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many in that day were saved through his gospel labors. And I believe that ministers through the centuries have had a saving influence on God's children. I hope this weekend, this week, we'll all get saved in every way that we need to be saved. If you got any jealousy in your heart, I hope the gospel this week will just absolutely drive it out of your heart. If you've got any unforgiveness, you need to be saved from that. Who in the world wants to go through this life with unforgiveness in your heart? If you have bitterness in your heart, just get rid of it. The gospel. I've had people come up to me and say, "Brother Sam, you stepped all over my toes tonight." And I say, "Thank God. I was getting through." You know, the preaching of the gospel ought to... I tell you, when I go hear somebody preach and they don't get on my toes a little bit, I figure they haven't preached much. What do y'all say? Are y'all just looking for a sugar stick from the preacher? Or are you looking for something that will help you?
Amen.
Pray that God will bless these ministers to save us.
Amen.
A lot more I'd like to say, but I want to share the time. May God bless you. It's a joy to be with you.